I didn't sleep very well Tuesday night. Maybe you can relate. I had a terrible nightmare. When I went to bed on Tuesday, I didn't know the result of the election, but I had seen enough to get my unconscious churned up to produce this nightmare for me. In my dream, my wife Nancy and I were driving along, feeling lost, a sense of homelessness, like we had no place, didn't know where we were going, didn't know where we could go, didn't know where we would be safe or welcomed. We felt like the tools that we'd had to manage our lives were lost to us, and we didn't know where to turn. And then we saw a sign on the side of the highway, Women's Center, next right, all are welcome. Oh, this felt like a beacon. It felt like a possibility. So we turned off the road following the signs. The road got narrower and narrower, and there were homeless people sleeping all along the sides of the roads. We could see the piles of their belongings and the sleeping bags or cardboard that they were laying on. And we got to the end, and the center was boarded up, closed. And we sat there, not knowing where to go or where to turn. And then I woke up to a different world than I had expected. Now, nightmares are useful. They give us opportunities. They open us to thinking differently, to our feelings and our deeper feeling. They open us to connecting. My sense of fear and powerlessness, confusion. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know where I was safe. I realized as I explored this nightmare that this is the feeling that many of the citizens in our country feel every day. They don't know where they're safe. All the vulnerable groups that have been feeling vulnerable now for a long, long time. People of color, Muslims, transgendered people, women, children. This has been their lived experience for as long as our country was founded on liberty and justice for white men who own land. So let's not kid ourselves. I'm not kidding myself. My nightmare opened me up to this, what it feels like to be an outsider in my own country. My awakening was just a tiny bit of what people in vulnerable communities feel every day of their lives. And my nightmare opened me up to other fears. Reflecting on this dream, I remembered a woman on NPR, a Trump supporter. She said that Trump gave her hope. She said that he was the only one in many, many years of her feeling lost and filled with despair that said, I know what the problem is and I know how to fix it. Hope for the first time in many, many years. The road in my dream, the dead end of with homelessness and despair, has been her life. Her fear that lack of job, lack of opportunity could eventually end to this dead end of homelessness and despair, a reality that I will never experience in my life, though my nightmare gave me a tiny taste of what that feels like. So should we blame these people? Who should we blame? Who should we blame then for this situation that we're in? Why should we blame? Recrimination, finger pointing, none of this is useful for where we are now. My Facebook post is almost unbearable between the people striving desperately to figure out what went wrong, the people who want to immediately say, he's not our president, and the people clinging to some sense of hope, clinging for some sense of connection, reaching out to vulnerable populations. Many of us are feeling ashamed that we didn't understand the depth of the pain that people in this country were experiencing. Many of us are feeling humbled that the solutions that we have proposed from our privileged place were not the ones that people needed to hear. Imagine that. So here we are. We're unsure of what to do next. Our hearts have been broken open. Our country has been broken open. Where do we go from here? First, we get our equilibrium back. Like Annie Lamott said, we do what we need to do to take care of ourselves. If you need to grieve, grieve. Wailing is a totally appropriate form of grieving. If you need to be angry, be angry. But I recommend less news, less alcohol, less sugar, less of anything that is not helping you to feel grounded. I recommend more gratitude, more people who love you, more communities of love and support. I recommend more beauty, more music, more art, more nature, more things that soothe your soul and prepare us, strengthen us, and ground us for what's to come next. So then we ground ourselves and we go on. I'm still living my life every day. I hope you guys are too. We go on. Some of us are ready now to move on. Some of us have been ready for quite some time. Some of us have been yelling to others, hey, 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 here's what we should be doing. But we haven't, some of us haven't been ready to hear it. And some of us need more time to grieve, to find that solid ground, those communities of love and connection. As we think about our next step, I was recalled to the Chinese character for crisis. Those of you who know anything about the Chinese language, the characters are drawn as combinations of things. And crisis is the combination of danger and opportunity. This is an opportunity. And it's an opportunity that's going to require different tools than the ones that we've previously used, because we are not in control. Maybe you thought you were beforehand. I kind of thought I did, but I kind of knew that I wasn't, and we're not. We haven't really been. The things we can control in our lives are how we react to things, what we do, and what we say, and how we behave. I recommend that you take all the time that you're spending watching the political scene to figure out the next step and use that time and energy for something that you can control, somewhere where you can make a difference. I recommend that you take this broken heart and engage with people who think differently than you. When you're ready, you'll know when you're ready. I recommend that you take this open heart and use it to be curious rather than blaming. Listen and read and grow. We're going to be reading Hillbilly Elegy in the winter. We need to read that book about white, lower class, middle class, and blue collar people in this country. We need to read that book and learn. We're going to be reading Criminal of Poverty, an important book about homelessness. We need to read these books and understand from these broken hearts that we have. You should read the article by William Sinkford in the New World magazine about racism and well-intentioned white people. Take this broken heart of yours and resist the fear and projections of the apocalypse. I can project as well as you can, but it doesn't do us any good. We need to stay here in the present. When you feel fearful, take inventory of all those good and loving things in your life that ground you. Because we are, in a way, the lucky ones. Bullying and hate crimes are on the rise, and for most of us, that's not going to be a condition in our lives. We need to keep our fears managed so we can help the truly vulnerable in our world. Now, as I tell you to resist fear, I really want you to manage your fear. Fear can be a very powerful force if we can focus it into action. Or as Anne Lamott says, courage is fear that has said its prayers. So where do we go from here? We do something. Start right where you are in this moment, right with what you're called to do. Start small, start local, start immediate, where you have the ability to make a difference. And I say, start with kindness. Those of you who have heard me talk about the ministry of the greeting, how I greet everybody in a friendly way. Yes, thank you for remembering that. The wave. Thank you for remembering that. Yeah. On my bike rides through my neighborhood, I greet everybody. Good morning. Hello. It is just the most nurturing thing. Now, of course, I'm on my bike going, oh, maybe they're the people that I should be afraid of. Uh-uh. I feel that. Hi. Hi, human being who's on the same planet as me, who wants to be free and happy and safe. Hi. Kindness. Have kindness. Live kindness. I don't know what it's been like in your life in the last few days, but I've engaged almost every place I've gone, the grocery store, the sandwich place. There have been people who get my order wrong or forget something or seem distracted. Huh? Yeah. Be kind. Be kind. If you do nothing else, be kind. Start with something really, really definite, and that would be building homes with Habitat for Humanity. What a great way to get out your anger, huh? Pound it into a home and then bless that space with gratitude. We're signing up next Wednesday. I heard from Habitat that there's more space for our building project next Wednesday, and there's sign-ups out there in the welcome hall. We have two Saturdays now. We didn't have any Saturdays. Those of you who are concerned about that, sign up. There's plenty of space for everybody, and I'd love to see as many of you as possible out there pounding. You can prep and serve food at Loaves and Fishes with our group on the fourth Monday. You can serve at the St. John Shelter for Homeless. We have a group that does that. You can volunteer for Family Promise. You can get involved in our Earth Justice. You can support refugees. All these things are here. All these things are part of what we do as a community. I encourage you to reach out to the parents in our congregation. And I want to speak to those of you who are parents. Parents have a really tough job right now. A lot of children are very fearful. A lot of children need to be instilled with courage to stand up to bullies. Courage that maybe a lot of us don't have. Imagine explaining to your child how it is that a bully got to be president of the United States. Let these children who are inspired to stand up to bullies help you to find the courage to stand up to the bullies in your life. And that tells me that we need to prepare ourselves to be allies to the vulnerable. There's a project that's been going around on Facebook that has come over to us from the United Kingdom. It's a safety pin that you wear to indicate that you are an ally to vulnerable people so that people know who is safe to say, I care about everyone and I am here. Now, of course, that's a really easy thing to do, right? Putting on that safety pin on your lapel. The hard part is being ready to do that when somebody calls on you. And that's the work that every single one of us needs to do. There's plenty of resources to do that. There's going to be some folks from our Black Lives Matter team offering safety pins and information about the safety pin project. But the real challenge is not putting on the pin. The real challenge is understanding how you can truly be an ally. And one of the ways that you can be an ally is to work with the Showing Up for Racial Justice group. We've opened our building to that community organization because they're doing the work that it needs to be done. And there'll be information out in the welcome hall about that as well. I believe that we also need to reach out to some of the vulnerable religious communities in town. I went to an interfaith service last night that was very inspiring, and I'm going to be asking the board this week for permission to reach out to local Muslim and Jewish leaders to let them know that we are here for them, that we honor them and we are their allies, to find out what we can do to help them feel safe in this community. Do something. Pick a cause. It doesn't matter. There's so many of them. Is it healthcare, contraception for women? Is it climate chaos? Follow your call. Run for office. I know you're out there. I know you are out there, the person who feels called to run for office. We are counting on you. We are counting on all the people who feel this calling to help transform our government in this time of opportunity. Schedule permitting, Ami Bera is going to be with us next week after the service to help us understand about his vision of moving forward, to answer your questions, and to be present with this religious community of which he identifies. So I will keep you posted about whether he's able to fulfill that schedule and that offer to be with us next week. Bring a friend to church. Is there somebody you think needs this community? Bring them here. Tell them that this time together on Sunday mornings is a time for healing and refreshing. Tell them that it is a time for support and a time for challenge to live our values more deeply in the world. On Sundays, we come together. We listen, we sing, we pray. We experience beauty and the power of community. We renew our shared values and prepare ourselves for the work ahead. My nightmare still resonates deeply for me. This nightmare of a dead end of hopelessness, lost and afraid. It resonates with me because it's true. We are truly at a dead end in our country on the path that we've been on. And we know in our hearts that a new path may be found. We are at a dead end, but we are not lost, and we are not alone. As Howard Zinn reminded us, we have a history of magnificent people to draw on. I'm going to choose not to dwell on all the potential horrors that history teaches us. I'm going to choose to believe that we can learn from those lessons of history, not redo things. And I'm going to choose to hold in my heart those incredibly magnificent, courageous people that made a difference. A history of sacrifice and courage, compassion and kindness. And I'd like to bring some of those people into the room right now. I'd like us to think about who in our history is someone that you think we need their spirit with us today. Let's just name all those names into the room today, all at the same time. Just call them out. Jesus, Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, all Mother Teresa. Let us keep these all in our hearts. All these people as inspiration as we go forward. We are at a dead end, but we're not lost and we're not alone. There are many others in this country who truly want what we want, who truly share a lot of the same values that we share. And many of these people did not vote the way that we voted. We have to keep our hearts open to their perspective, keep our hearts open to the possibilities, to find those ways that we do agree and let them be the seed. I heard someone say, we've been buried, but we are seeds and we will grow. We will grow up. Let us be the seeds. Let us find those connections. It is no longer optional to have an us versus them. It is imperative. We are at a dead end, but we are not lost and we are not alone. We have each other and we have this community. We have the community of people that we know in our hearts. I'd like to envision our space here, our community here, as truly a sanctuary, a haven for all who find their way here, a place of refuge for people that are weary in the spirit, a place of inspiration for those that are looking for a path forward, a way to serve the greater good. Our mission is to deepen our lives and be a force for healing in the world. It just got very real. It just leapt off the page of our order of service, and I hope it's leapt into your heart. We are called to be that force for healing now more than ever. We are called, each of us, in our own way. Annie Lamott says, looking for the exact right words that will help us. I've heard other people say, we need a new leader. We need somebody to rally us. We need somebody with the right message. At the interfaith service last night, there was a woman sitting next to me that I interacted with. I told her about our wonderful congregation here. And almost towards the end of the service, right before the last hymn, after we had written our prayers down on little squares and hung them up all over Trinity Cathedral for everyone to see, she sat down and she turned to me and she said, I was waiting for someone to show me the way, but I realized that God has been showing me the way all along. I realized that in my heart I've known the way, and I was resisting, and I'm not going to resist anymore. Please don't resist anymore. Please don't resist with me anymore. Please live this mission that is so dear to our hearts in an active and valid way. Please take that fear and use it. Anchor it in prayer and use that fear in a courageous way in our world. Let us bind our hearts together in a shared commitment to this mission and make this community a beacon of love and a model of courage in our troubled world. Let us take these candles, these feelings in our hearts, these possibilities, and realize them in profound and meaningful ways today and every day. If you are with me, say, I will.
I will.
If you are with me, say, we will.
We will.
May it be so. Blessed be, and amen.